John, I can hear you typing.
Yeah, I can hear me typing too, and I've just rolled the theme song, and it wouldn't, and it was working a few seconds ago, and now it isn't cooperating with me. Aha, I see what it did. Here, we'll just start all over. Well, it's a few seconds after 7 o'clock, and we got started late because of a little equipment glitch here, but live from Studio B in Stately Hope Manor in Westminster, Maryland, it's the other podcast. And if you're wondering why Stacy McCain is not welcoming to the broadcast this evening, or podcast, or whatever it is we're going to call this thing, Stacy is off at a different undisclosed location at the wedding of his son. And so that's an excused absence, isn't it, Diana?
It is, very definitely. And we wish him very well, especially we wish the young man very well in his new endeavor.
Yep. And can you work your mic just a little closer?
Oh,
We're
I'm sorry, sure.
set up this evening, and we're going to try to make it as bug-free as possible, but
Okay.
you never can tell. I don't care so much about football, and so I'm going to
Neither do I.
this evening and just start right in picking on Diana and her newly adopted home state of Georgia.
All right.
Have you looked at the bozos that are running for office down there, especially for senator?
Oh, boy. Every time I think that these guys have plumbed the utter depth of human political stupidity, they go and do something else that's unbelievable. Yeah, I remember your post about I'm not making this up, you know.
Yeah, well, I
John
wasn't.
Ossoff.
Yeah,
No, you weren't.
Ossoff, the guy who's running for Senate, basically over last weekend got interviewed by somebody, and he got asked about how he deal with minor children who've been brought to the United States illegally, and he gave the usual "I support DACA" sort of answer. But then he kept talking, and he really needs to understand that he has the right to remain silent. But
And should exercise it.
basically, he went on to chastise the brutal conditions facing workers on Georgia farms and argued that it was the ICE agent's job not to detain the illegal workers, but to make sure that they were being treated well and making minimum wage and had humane conditions. I'm not sure how he learned how the federal government functions, but he did spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill. And according to his Wikipedia bio, he worked as a national security staffer for a U.S. representative by the name of Hank Johnson for 5 years. And there's not really information online, but I have a feeling he may have been the person that Representative Johnson placed in charge of monitoring the safety of Guam. And if you want to understand why Johnson was concerned about the safety of Guam, go over to YouTube and search for Hank Johnson Guam. You'll find a video, I think left over from C-SPAN, where he is grilling some poor admiral at a defense budget hearing about whether or not the island will tip over if we station too many people there.
Yeah, I had for years I thought there's got to be he could not really have said that. I mean, I was. I saw the YouTube of it, but I just, he could not really have said that.
And they keep
Anyway.
voting for him.
He's not my rep, and that's a good thing. That's all I can say.
Well, of course, you didn't really live in San Francisco either. You worked there, but you lived across the bay, right?
I lived down in San Jose. Well, I lived in Fremont for many years, and then I lived in San Jose.
Yeah, well, Blazing Cat Fur, which is a Canadian blog, reported this week that this is another one of my "I'm not making this up, you know" posts. Reported that San Francisco school high school name for Abraham Lincoln is going to be renamed because the former president did not demonstrate that Black Lives Matter to him.
Right. You know, the depth of the irony here is just sort of disgusting. It's San Francisco. The lunacy flows with the fountains.
Yeah, well, the same district plans to remove other names from high schools, including George Washington and Herbert Hoover. And Herbert Hoover is like kind of a local Californian. And Dianne Feinstein, because apparently when she was mayor back in the 80s, she allowed a Confederate flag to fly one day outside of City Hall.
That is correct. It was it led to all sorts of interesting outbreaks, shall we say, for years afterwards. Honestly, if you'd have to go back and read about the controversy at the time, but seriously, it was not that serious a matter and should never have been. It should not. Say what you will about DiFi, and there are so many things to say. She was a pretty good mayor for San Francisco, and this is not, if you're going to cancel her over something, cancel her over the fact that she knew her driver was a spy.
Yeah, well, but that was after she left town for Washington. But, you know, what is it about the kind of people that get collected in California who think there are betters for out here in flyover country, and they just continually get it wrong? You did a piece that published as a guest post about just a huge example of Californians meddling in Louisiana.
Now, this is an expansion of a really short blog post I did back in October, but more things keep happening and more people keep commenting on this to me. So, back in 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana and wiped out pretty much all of the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. Why this came to the attention of Brad Pitt has never been really clear to me. But it all starts off with lovely intentions, and money is no object. I mean, good Lord, money was no object. And the idea was, we're going to rebuild it better, stronger, faster, greener. Oh, so green and architecturally beautiful and wonderful. And in other words, a whole bunch of good intentions paved the road to hell. In 2008, they broke ground on the development of these houses. And by 2016, it all came to a screeching halt. Now they're in a welter of recriminations, lawsuits, anger, leaky roofs, non-foundational foundations, and you name it, it's wrong. And, you know, a friend of mine refers to it as the make it very, very wrong foundation, and she's not wrong. You know, almost everything I can say about this is this. It's an utterly predictable fiasco. The intentions were great. The money was no object. The development was going to be a great and glorious topic of discussion at Hollywood cocktail parties, and all would be well. it's drearily predictable because they didn't think it through. The first thing they should have done is worked through charities that are already there building housing. Mercy Housing South and Habitat for Humanity come to mind immediately. There's so much that could have been done with $26 million. And it didn't involve, and it would not have involved, award-winning architects being allowed to blue sky design houses that don't serve people's needs. You know, this was a disaster, and nobody involved has learned anything. In an update to this that I ran across this afternoon, in one of the lawsuits, Brad Pitt has asked to be wants to be removed from the suit because just because he had some press releases doesn't mean he was making any promises. Really?
Uh-huh.
Really? Can you believe somebody would say that? Anyway, our betters, or as Kurt Schlichter calls them, our garbage elite.
Well, they haven't been very successful trying to run things. And there was a wonderful tweet by Richard Fernandez, who tweets as Richard the Cat, Wretched the Cat. The old elites will find it as hard to resume their 2016 habits as the European colonists, their empires after World War II. Their prestige is gone despite their pretense to virtue. The deplorables can see what they've done. And that's pretty much it. The deplorables can see what's happening. We're not really signing up to listen to them anymore.
Nope.
They were surprised in 2016 when we all voted the wrong way. Well, not all of us, but enough of us voted the wrong way. And they don't seem to understand that their multiple failures to keep up their end of the American social contract that led to the 2016 revolt. While they may have executed a tactically successful counterstrike this year, they haven't put the strategic assets in place to properly regain and sustain their control, either, at a moral level. The analogy to the end of Europe's colonial control of Africa and Asia is kind of useful, but it's not exact. The Europeans were really tired after the war, and they were split by significant internal divisions, and the internal struggles are really what made them less able to maintain control of their overseas possessions. I can see the same sort of internal struggles breaking out in the left, and it's going to basically block their elite's attempt to restore their vision of what's supposed to be normal. There are going to be turf wars between groups like BLM and more mainstream Democrats, or between the Squad and the old guard in Congress, or as we'll get to later, turf wars between the feminists and the LGBTQs, or however many letters that goes on for now. That's going to sap the left's ability to enforce their will on basically an increasingly rebellious bunch of deplorables. What's interesting, I tagged a post about that with the line, 2021 is going to be very interesting and very, very ugly. And I was kind of pleased when Peter and Jimmy picked that up and used that as the opening bit of a post of about one-liners. Meanwhile, an example of how this is working worldwide about the elites' loss of control. England has, a British court has ruled that it's okay to call Stephanie Hayden a pig in a wig.
And more importantly, that Stephanie Hayden is a man.
Well, yes. And, Stacey has a post up about that.
Excellent one.
Basically, A British appeals court has ruled that the freedom of speech includes the right to offend. And freedom only, here's a quote from what one of the justices wrote, freedom only to speak inoffensively is not worth having. And, you know, while it's, I don't recommend that you go around being offensive to people, there are sometimes when you speak the truth and it pisses people off.
Yes. Well, to be honest, this Stephanie Hayden person, what's his real name? Anthony Halliday?
Yeah.
Has taken it upon himself to ruin people's lives and get them, ruin their careers. And when you do that on the, on a basis as tenuous as as gender dysphoria, I think that it's time you somebody did push back, and I'm really glad that the court has allowed her, has backed her, because they're right. They're right. Free speech encompasses the right to offend and indeed to abuse another, provided it is not an actual threat of physical harm. It's protected speech. Now, I don't suggest that you go around calling anybody a pig in a wig. I wouldn't. It's kind of rude, but I get the point. And they're right.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, though, you know, this whole thing about I have this imaginary idea that even though I have a Y chromosome, I'm a woman, or something else, some third gender that or sex that doesn't exist. Actually, gender is a property of words, not of objects or beings or whatever. And you know, Hogwash is an English language blog, and I strive to use proper grammar. I don't really do it all that well. But I'm writing informally on the blog, so I'm not worried about, like, it's not like I'm doing a dissertation or something. But to that end, I have a rule that I follow the English language rules of grammar about how to use pronouns. The in English, the masculine forms are he, him, his, and the feminine form is she, her, hers. And single individuals never use the they, them, their form, because that's plural. And it's, you know, unless you, well, I suppose unless you have borderline personality disorder or dissociative identity disorders or some form of mental illness like schizophrenia, you really aren't entitled to refer to yourself as they or them.
Not really, though.
Okay. Or some imaginary form like zer or whatever.
Oh, I hate that. I can sort of almost, I will be polite. And if I am dealing with you in a professional capacity, a professional transactional capacity, and you wish to be called she, even though you are not, even though you are, your chromosomes are XY, I will politely call you that. I will address you as she, her, and female, feminine pronouns. But I really am not comfortable with made up stuff. It turns language in, it makes it impossible to actually communicate. I think Annie Leckie in her auxiliary series switches gendering so that females, everything is preferentially she and her and woman. And at a certain point, it becomes, you lose track of who's who. You don't know who's who.
Well, there are four genders in English: masculine, yes, feminine, unknown, and neuter. Okay. Now, the unknown form for it is the same as the masculine informally, and in formal writing, it's 1-1-1s. And so if somebody wants to have not disclose he or she, that person is perfectly within the rules of English to refer to himself or herself as one, or and doing it that way, you start sounding a little bit like Oscar Wilde having a conversation. But the other alternative, though, is neuter. And really, it's kind of disrespectful to refer to a human being as it. And so yes. I choose not to do that. There's a way to be polite and kind to people who are struggling with psychological or medical issues related to their ability to understand their sexuality. And I'm willing to be, I would not try to go, I would not go out of my way to stir up a conflict over something like that. No. But at least in terms of writing on my blog, if you got a Y chromosome, you're not her. You know, that isn't the way it works. So yes. That's just
wishing that, does not make it so.
No, it doesn't. But you know, this idea that you can call me something that I'm not and that I'm entitled to it, actually, it goes beyond this insane multiplication of genders. By the way, have you noticed that there doesn't seem to be a lot of this in other languages?
Not really. I'd sort of hope that this was a English language weirdness, but yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen any of this in, for example, in French. So we'll see. I mean, I suppose maybe the Canadians have got their thing going about their gender. Speech bill that have been going around, but I have no idea whether it has affected Quebec at all, because they don't, you know, that's primarily French speaking. But, you know, I mean, it's this whole idea that call me something I'm not and do it in a way that puffs my ego up. Call me doctor.
Yeah. I've not been silly enough to venture into her dissertation. I really have a feeling that would probably not be good for my mental health. So I haven't done so.
It might not be good for any anger issues you have.
But Jill Biden has an EDD, which is the lowest form of upper academic achievement. It does not require a foreign language. It is not terribly rigorous.
It's a professional degree in the same sense that a law degree is, but without so much of the academic rigor.
Well, it has been funny that to watch her, I mean, it's like Joe Biden made fun of her desire to be Dr. Biden for a few years ago, back in 2009, he was making fun of it. And that wasn't misogynistic or anything else, but the caterwauling that has broken out on the notion that somebody who, except in a very, unless she were in an academic position where she needed to be addressed as Dr. Biden, why is she even bothering? Who cares?
Well, I can tell you that my cousin, who has an EDD, never referred to herself outside of any sort of professional communication as doctor. And, you know, the reason she got her EDD was because she was a high school principal and she got a substantial raise for that, as opposed to having a master's degree or a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part what it is. It's basically the pay envelope equivalent of grade inflation for teachers.
Well, she is not. She's. I don't think she needs to be terribly focused on a salary upgrade. I mean, considering that her current ambition seems to be acting as Edith Wilson 2.0, I don't really see.
Well, then how, her family
how her
really
doc- has her. Being Dr. Biden is relevant.
Well, her family isn't having cash flow issues, that's for sure.
Not but we, at the moment.
No. But anyway, I did a post, though, called On Honorifics. Mm-hmm. Looking around my generation of the cousins in my family, there are a bunch of us who have educational or career accomplishments that entitle us to various honorifics. And a bunch of us have got doctorates. I'm not one of them. I am, in fact, it's better of a disclosure, I'm the least educated person, at least in terms of university degrees, in my generation of the family. Mm-hmm. But we have, there's several PhDs, there's an MD, there's a DDS, there's an EDD, and there's a DPhil. By the way, that is Oxford's equivalent of a PhD, and the holder of that has just recently retired from Oak Ridge National Laboratories, where he worked as a physicist. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all of them have used the honorific doctor professionally from time to time, but only the physician and the dentist have ever used it socially that I'm aware of. And there are a couple of us who are entitled to the honorific colonel because they were retired military officers, and none of them use that socially. Many of us are still working, which is interesting because the youngest one of us is old enough to be drawing Social Security now. But we're doing it because we're comfortable with who we are and our accomplishments, and simply being Mr. or Mrs. and working at what we do is enough for us. So, you know, I guess, you know, there it is. I see a lack of personal confidence when somebody, you know, has to be referred to by some honorific that just doesn't really make sense in a social setting.
Do you remember Dr. Amy Bishop?
Yep.
Yeah, that's Dr. Amy Bishop to you.
Right.
So, and, yeah, I think that sort of edges off into another topic, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but there's all sorts of odd things that have happened about that sort of stuff. But anyway, we've got all sorts of problems with honorifics. So we're getting down to about the halfway point of the hour, and it says 29 minutes and 18 seconds, 19 seconds as I go by on the clock that I'm looking at. So that puts us halfway through the podcast, and normally halfway through the podcast, I steer Stacy to try to talk about his
blog,
the yellow button. So, but I'm going to ask our new colleague Diana to steer people to a particular blog post at the Other McCain, and because that's a good place where they can find the yellow button and see a good reason why they should hit it.
Yes, I quite agree. Earlier this evening, during my homework prior to the podcast, I turned my browser to theothermccain.com, which is where you can find Stacy's excellent blogging and the famous yellow button, which is front and center. It's really clearly in the second column over here on the right. And in the center was a new post titled "The Lewinsky Scandal and Media Bias." Stacy writes, "My American Spectator colleague, Melissa McKenzie, provides a walk down memory lane exposing the media's partisan double standard." Going to skip the quote and go to what he had to say. "The Lewinsky scandal erupted 2 months after I arrived in D.C. as an assistant editor at the Washington Times, and I have vivid memories of how that went down. What happened was that Clinton's first finger-wagging denial, 'I did not have sex with that woman,' was a tactic used to buy time while his spin doctors went to work devising a message that could enable him to survive the scandal when, inevitably, it was revealed that Clinton was really guilty as hell." Read the whole thing. It's great. As usual, Stacy's prose is excellent. It's clear. It's entertaining. It's really good. If you don't know Stacy's work, you need to. Come visit The Other McCain, and you'll have a good time. Which brings us to John.
Well, yeah, because there's that yellow button there, and mm-hmm. that yellow button will take you off to Stacy's tip jar, which was the way that blog is crowdfunded. Now, The Other McCain also has lots of other ways that you can support it. The principal one, though, is you'll find some shameless capitalism over in the sidebar on the far right. And if you use that to do your Amazon shopping, Stacy, being a member of the Amazon affiliates program, will make a small cut of any mm-hmm. of the purchases you do through that. By the way, I'm a member of the Amazon affiliates program as well. You can use the Amazon links at Hogwash to help support me, or look around. A lot of other bloggers can get support that way. I have a tip jar over at Hogwash.com as well. If you click on that, you'll be taken to my PayPal account where you can make a donation to help support the blog. Or you can scroll down on the sidebar on the right at my blog and click on that icon of a funny looking trucker's hat, and it'll take you off to the Hogwash store where you can find all sorts of interesting stuff branded in ways related to the blog. And there's still time to get stocking stuffers, so you can use that for your Christmas shopping and help support Hogwash. But the important thing to remember about all this stuff we've been talking about is the five most important words in the English language.
Hit the freaking tip jar.
Indeed. And by the
guys, you really need to do it some more this week, because getting a kid married is an expensive process.
Yep. And transporting a family as large as Stacy's to that sort of endeavor is a interesting logistical issue. Anyway, if you scroll down at The Other McCain, eventually mm-hmm. you're going to find another post that deals with the state of Georgia, since we're picking on the state of Georgia tonight.
It's
headlined, "Mom Blames Atlanta Police for Her Son Getting Beaten in a Massive Brawl."
Now,
before we went on tonight, I was talking to Diana, and apparently this is like getting no real coverage down in your part of the state.
Not really. I mean, I have not Diana? Heard... Hello, am I gone or something? Stacy? John? Hello? John?
Diana?
Am I there?
I've lost audio of you.
Oh, boy.
You're back. Sort of, kind of. There.
Okay. Okay. All my buttons are right.
Well, yeah, I got you now.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard much from anybody about this. The biggest thing that I notice about it is a sense of all by itself, it's a terrible thing that the kid got beaten up. I really am very, very sorry the kid got beaten up. It's a horrible thing. But I'm not quite sure why she's blaming the police, who, as far as I can tell from the videos that are the video linked in Stacy's article, I think that for the police, it was they didn't, what were they going to do? They didn't have enough backup to break this up.
They were outnumbered something like 10 to 1.
What were they going to do? Start shooting? That doesn't work. I mean, I don't know what they were supposed to do. I'm really sorry. It's a horrible thing, but I don't see how the police are to blame.
Well, there's another issue here as well, and that is the idea that when something bad happens, someone else needs to pay.
Doesn't work that way.
It can't be my fault, or it can't be my kid's fault. Right now it's the point where it's a claim against the police. It'll wind up trying to be a lawsuit. And what is weird is that I don't understand why a competent lawyer would have taken this at all, even in the form of filing a claim. There have been multiple Supreme Court cases, the most recent one, Castle Rock versus Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court has ruled over and over again that the police do not have a duty to protect any individual person from harm. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's just, you can't sue the police for failure to protect you. It's just not how it works. Once again, what do you expect? The police were outnumbered. Yeah. Right? So what are you going to do? Defund the police?
I don't know.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that'll work so well. Everybody loves the thought of defunding the police until a brick comes through their window.
Yeah. Well, Seattle.
Yeah.
There was this Seattle councilwoman who mm-hmm. Called the cops to her house on Friday. Lisa Herbel mm-hmm. called the 911 on Friday because someone threw a rock into her living room. Mm-hmm. Right? And the thing is that Herbel has got a proposal going as a I guess city council member mm-hmm. That would take misdemeanor charges that result from things like throwing a rock through somebody's window and have them dismissed if they can show signs of mental illness or addiction or if they can prove the crime was something they committed because they needed it in order to survive, the poverty defense.
The poverty defense, right, yeah.
Well, stealing bread for your children, maybe, or something like that. But, the idea that just because you're crazy or addicted that you have no legal responsibility. Well, I mean, there are people who are so insane they don't know right from wrong, but there are people who are crazy and who know right from wrong and who still do it anyway.
And there are simply bad people.
Oh, well, yeah, there are people like that. What bothers me is this, though, that is... the idea that the basic dishonesty of we're going to let all these people go when they throw a rock through your window uh-huh. or burn down your store. Mm-hmm. But if they throw a rock through my living room window, I want the police.
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to defund the police so that there won't be police to come.
Well, And also this it's really stupid to sit there and say that somebody who's an addict or mentally ill, there are no consequences. Because if you think that this is going to result in more peace and quiet and order and people being kind to each other, you are sadly mistaken. Because
No, actually, it won't.
when good people get to feeling pushed up against the wall, what happens?
Well,
As Stacy pointed out, as Stacy's
eventually, eventually people will go into survival mode.
Correct.
And if we don't have police, then well, you would know, being from the Bay Area, the history there. When San Francisco didn't have a police department back in the 1850s, but they did have crime, they had what were called vigilance committees. And
And
one of the reasons why we have police departments is basically to make it harder to have a lynch mob.
Yes. You know, the last lynching in California that I'm aware of anyway occurred in the 1930s. The two guys who were accused of having kidnapped and murdered a young man. And it actually occurred in San Jose. Anyway, but at Stacy had a really, really good article about Sheriff Grady Judd of Polk County, Florida, who is Stace one of Stacy's favorite law enforcement officials. It's titled, "Good People Carry Guns and They Will Shoot You a Lot. Graveyard Dead." I think that we are headed in that direction a lot more if this silliness keeps up.
Well, I haven't had to shoot anybody since I got back from Vietnam. So it's been almost 50 years now, but I still know how. And in the locker not very far from me, there are a lot of products made by companies like Colt and Remington and Browning. Okay. And so, if there were a breakdown of law and order, I would at least be willing to engage in self-defense. Now, I'm an old fart. I'm not going to go out looking for trouble, but if trouble comes my way, I still remember how to deal with it. And there are a lot of people like that around the country still. And what, there's 330 odd million people in the United States and something like 450 million guns.
And
And
let's not even think about how much ammo.
well, you can't, I mean, the ammunition manufacturers cannot manufacture ammunition fast enough to deal with the demand right now, and it's
Very
not
true.
getting burned up at the ranges. So, I mean, the people are stockpiling ammunition, and they're not doing that because they think 2021 is going to be an easy year.
Yeah, I know. I'm keep waiting for other people to catch up with me. We were with the fact that 2021 is likely going to be saying to 2020, "Here, honey, hold my beer."
And it's really going to be it's really going to be a bad year in many, many ways. Part of that has to do with the fact that a huge percentage of the electorate believes that the election was stolen. I mean, even like a third of the Democrats almost believe that, we didn't have a fair election. Now, it's, we had 4 years of he's not my president. The Russians interfered in the election. there was all sorts of this and that and the other thing. And it, now it's turned out that just exactly the opposite happened. I mean, you know, we got Joe Biden basically on video in the archives now saying that, don't worry, we're going to win. We've got the best election fraud operation in history going for us. Yeah. And it looks like he wasn't lying in that case. Stacy had a post called Mathematical Analysis Documents, Strange Voting Patterns in the Election. And it starts off, if you're smart enough to understand all the statistical stuff in this lengthy report, perhaps you can explain it in the comments. And so I did. And my comment... My comment was, the too long didn't read is Joe Biden's handlers cheated.
Yes.
But what that report does is a group of statisticians analyzed how the voting went. And let me just explain what they did this way. You can look at two events and see if there's any statistical correlation between them. For example, you might test people for intelligence and look at their IQs and measure their success in life. And you might see that, hey, there's a correlation between being smart and being successful. And you might be able to, over a large population, derive an equation that says, if you're this smart, the odds improve this much that you'll be successful. Okay, and that's a reasonable sort of use of statistics. Well, what these people did is they looked at the voting data going back all the way to the 2000 election, and on a county by county basis in every county in the United States, they looked at the correlation between how white professionals voted, white working class people voted, Black people voted, Hispanic people voted. And then they looked at that county by county and they saw how it correlated election by election. And then they took those demographics and applied them to the 2020 election, basically for changes in population mix and that sort of stuff, and predicted how counties would vote. And as a result of that, they accurately predicted who would win the election in every state except Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. And they sort of kind of almost got Michigan, but it was, you know, the thing. So then they looked at it, the states apart, county by county, and the counties where for almost all of the state, except in the places where, you know, like Milwaukee
Fulton
or
County.
Philadelphia, those counties were the ones that they had trouble that where stuff wouldn't predict properly. That's kind of suspicious looking. And so that's what this points out. And then there are 20 bellwether counties that nobody has been elected, you know, that nobody has lost and for years and years and years. And Trump won 19 of them. So there's all this sort of stuff going on that just kind of makes you wonder what's going on. And then we get a smoking gun.
Antrim County, Michigan.
Yeah.
The voting machines were subjected to a forensic audit. And they're 68.5% more likely to return an incorrect result on a ballot than they are to basically the numbers are wrong. These machines are so far off that they cannot be trusted to count a ballot.
And they kick the ballots out for human adjudication.
Right. And then it's a matter of who's counting the votes, not who cast them.
Well, and then the adjudication is done overseas. Oh.
Yeah,
so
bad idea.
You know, it's I did a post called being certifiable. And it basically says, here's the redacted version of the report that was submitted to the court as expert testimony. Mm-hmm. And I tagged that with the line, while the election is clearly not certifiable, anyone who believes it was fairly conducted probably is.
Yeah, got that right.
So, you know, it's just like, there's a line that keeps showing up over at Instapundit. These are Heinlein's crazy years. We're just living in them. And if you haven't read that mm-hmm. short story, I highly recommend it to you.
Yep.
Although the ending is even one-ups the sweet meteor of death. Oh, you've read that story, huh?
Of course.
Okay.
Been a few years, so I won't try to absolutely quote what happened, but yeah, I remember.
The sun goes Nova.
Yeah.
So we're running actually a little faster than usual this evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we didn't talk football. We didn't talk football at all.
Well, that's true. Not only that, but we've had fewer of Stacy's amazingly amusing rants.
But well, yeah, but that's the attraction of this show.
That's true. But, you know, one of the things that you should always remember is that the zeroth law of mental health is never try to out crazy Stacy McCain.
No.
And it's these people who do. Though they don't know Stacy, who are the reason why Stacy has his crazy people are dangerous features.
Yes. In this case, we have an embarrassment of riches in actuality and truth, but we've decided that we're going to talk about the New York Cathedral shooter was immigrant criminal with violent record. Let me read this. This is great. Okay, a Christmas choir concert Sunday afternoon at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine on the Upper West Side of Manhattan ended with a lunatic brandishing pistols and screaming, "Shoot me!" at police. Attempts by police to de-escalate were futile, and the gunman was shot dead. It turns out that the gunman, 52-year-old Luis Vasquez, was an immigrant from the Dominican Republic whose visa had expired. The gunman shot dead by cops after opening fire on the steps of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine on Sunday had a long rap sheet that included an attempted murder bust, according to records and sources. And it wasn't even the first time he shot at cops. I mean, okay, there's lots more here. But a violent criminal who was turned over to immigration authorities during the Obama administration was still on the streets of New York, where he was, no doubt, registered to vote as a Democrat.
Right.
This kind of stuff is no longer surprising. It is now routine.
Yeah, and that's one of the scary things about what's going on with this sort of stuff, is that we have people who are illegal immigrants. Actually, mm-hmm. I don't like that term, and I think that we need to go back to a term that I've seen used before. They're criminal immigrants. I mean, they've come into the United States, and the mere fact that they cross the border is a crime. So we need to start treating these criminals as criminals and dealing with them as criminals. And it's time for them to be put out of the country.
That would be great. But the first thing that has to change is the attitude to what is currently a two-tiered system of justice in which people who went to attend a choir concert were subjected to a life-threatening incident. And Mayor de Blasio, this would never have happened to him. First of all, I don't imagine he cares about music. Or if he does, I very much doubt he would go into a church. He might burst into flame. But his security would not have allowed anything to threaten him. This guy should have been, something should have been done about him in terms of deportation or, I don't know, locking him up in a mental health facility for a while until they get him straightened out and then deport him. But in any case, it's got to stop being catch and release. Criminals have to face consequences. Otherwise, what are we doing? Where do we go from here? Nowhere good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the thing, the same thing as our elites, though, are protected, and they're not, yep. And they expect us to put up with this, all in a show of wonderful unity that they're asking for. How's that selling down in Valdosta?
It's not.
Really? It doesn't seem to be selling very well out here in rural Maryland either. So yeah. I have a feeling that 2021 is going to be incredibly strange.
Me too.
And incredibly ugly.
Yep. And note to self, buy more ammo.
I just got another 100 rounds of 45 caliber Hydra shots. So anyway, we're headed into the end of the hour, and we're going to be done a little early tonight just because, but that's all right. We'll be back next weekend on Boxing Day, so we'll see you then. Meanwhile, Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
Diana.
Merry Christmas,
we'll,
John.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. I keep going down the road.